Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, hello, I'm Steph and this is the Don't Buy Her Flowers podcast, and it's great to be back for a new season. We are definitely in a time of change in our house. We've had one kid starting secondary school, one turned 10 and one started primary school, all in the space of a week. And honestly, emotions are running high. It's a lot of change. There have been a lot of moments when at least two members of the family are in tears. And God, they're ravenous, which of course leads to anger, which as a fellow sufferer, I have sympathy for, but yeah, it's just a bit mad. I've not done secondary school before, so it's all really new. And honestly, the amount of information you have as a parent feels very different. Dare I say it, I'm almost missing the parent WhatsApp groups. But primary school, I've done twice before, but I had still forgotten quite a lot of it. Like, he'll come home mute and then a bit angry, and then at bedtime, all this stuff just comes tumbling out. Like, Mum, can kids go to space? Mum, do you know one day I'll have a beard? Mum, I don't want to play with Billy today. And just like this unravelling of their day is going on in their gorgeous little heads and they don't know what to do with it. So yeah, it's a lot, but I think we'll just all hang in there and accept there's lots of change, so it's going to be rocky for a while. Maybe we'll give ourselves till half term or something, I don't know. So on with the podcast, where we have the next few episodes focusing on relationships. I'm delighted that the first guest is Aileen Barrett, aka Tinder Translator. Aileen is brilliantly funny and quick. She translates Tinder bios into what she thinks they really mean, and she's got a book coming out on the 13th of October, which I'll put a link to in the notes. We also get deep into misogyny and how some men are treating women, and also talk about why as women we might not expect more for ourselves in relationships. Quite a sinister side to it, and we talk about coercive control in relationships, which I've included a link about in the show notes. But also there's a message about women being allowed to be themselves and be fully formed humans with all the emotions, rather than trying to present in a way that pleases people and particularly men and society. So yeah, we cover a lot, but it is also fun because she is very funny, as I said. This episode has been sponsored by boutique mortgage and insurance brokerage Hudson Rose, who are based in Nailsworth. They're a lovely team. They're just around the corner from our headquarters, and they've got clients all over the UK, but they really stand out in the financial services world, and their motto is not all suits and ties. So I'll tell you a bit more about them during this episode. Now, let's crack on with the excellent Aileen. So I was going to start with where Tinder translators came from, because It started as a place to translate the awful bios from dating apps. So what made you start doing that?
Well, I kind of came onto the dating app scene like a little bit late than, I guess I wasn't like an early adopter because I was married. So I was married and I separated from my husband in 2016. And when I was married, I'd been like, oh my God, like Tinder, that's everything that's wrong with the world. It's so shallow. And then like within about 2 months, I was like, right, I'm going to download Tinder, see what's going on here. And so I guess I like a lot of, I think, women in their 30s, or people in their 30s really, who've like started dating again after long relationships, had like this massive shock to their system because it's a completely different game nowadays. And so I was just on dating apps quite a lot. And I'm interested in words anyway. I've always been interested in like the way we use language and like euphemisms and stuff. And after kind of being on and off them for quite a few years, you just start to notice the sort of like stock phrases that keep coming up, like and also just kind of getting a sense of what guys really mean from like matching with people and talking to them and being like, oh right, so that means that, does it, or whatever.
When you said that, what you actually meant was you'd like to have your dick sucked.
I mean, that's usually what it is, to be fair. I could probably just translate them all as I'd like to have my dick sucked, to be honest, but it'd be a bit repetitive. And I just thought, like, wouldn't it be kind of funny or whatever to do, like, Tinder translate? I already followed a few pages, you know, that had, like, dating app bios up and stuff like that, and, like, beam me up soft boy, stuff like that. I don't know if you follow her, but she just posts the most hilarious stuff. Someone's done it. Someone will have done this already. And it turned out that no one had done it on Instagram anyway. No. So I did it. So that was, so that's how it started out, really. And it was quite cathartic because I was just screenshotting Tinder profiles that I was coming across, and it made it a bit less soul destroying because, you know, you come across several of them per 10 minutes of swiping. And so instead of being like, oh my God, everything's shit, I could be like, I'll put that on my page. I'll do a translation of that. What would be funny about that? Yeah, exactly. Everything's content now. So if anything, it's like, oh, great, I found another one.
So basically it became a jumping off point to talk about how misogyny plays out in the world and in relationships, how you describe it in your book, which I should mention is out on the 13th of October.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes, that's
Tinder Translator, an A to Z of misogyny modern misogyny. It looks at how men treat women, but also a bit that I think is really interesting, which we can come on to later as well, is like, and why we don't expect more for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because it does kind of take two to tango in a way. Or like, you know, you have to buy into the stuff about you not deserving better, I think, in order to to put up with it in a way. Someone's probably going to go, oh my God, so victim blaming. But that's not what I mean.
I think you look at it from both sides. Mm-hmm. And at the end, especially, you give like a pep talk to women because it's primarily you're talking to cishet people, right? And you're talking about heterosexual relationships.
Yeah.
You're basically providing a service that helps people to like check what they might be drifting into without realizing, especially if, like you say, it's women of kind of our generation who have been in relationships, they've done all that, they grew up in the 90s in quite a different world. And then they're going into this. Things have changed. And almost we need to relook at all the stuff we learned when we were teenagers because it's not all great.
No, it's really not all great. Like, oh, God. I think loads of people have it where you watch a film from like more than 5 years ago now and I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to watch it again because it's going to be problematic, isn't it? It's going to be awful. Yeah. Like, even I was thinking about showing my son, who's 8.5, Back to the Future. And I was like, oh my God, his dad's a peeping Tom. That's how his mum and dad meet, is that he's spying on her through a window. And I was
made that connection. You're right. I couldn't have called it out when I was 15, any of this stuff that you're like, no. Oh, that's not okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it wasn't like that film is cancelled, we're never watching it type thing. But I was just like, even Back to the Future, we can't have anything nice anymore. I mean, some things haven't changed and I think a lot of things have. I mean, conversations around things like consent. I don't think the word consent was mentioned to us depending on where you go to school, isn't mentioned in sex education because we don't have a good blanket policy on that. But there's definitely a lot to unpick from what we've been taught to expect and what the world is like now.
So starting with the translations, can you give me some real life examples, either bios you've seen or the ones you've been sent, just a couple, and translate them just to start people off with what exactly you do?
Okay, so this one is, the name on it is just Doc. 35 years old. He's a physician at private. Straight man. Surprise, anyway. Also, lots of non-punctuated things on dating apps, so you really have to...
I mean, that would immediately put me off, I'll be honest. It genuinely would.
6'4", physician. Not looking for judgment for what I am looking for, but just being straightforward. This might sound a bit weird, but I find myself masturbating a lot during my free time lately, and I'm hoping to find someone open to sexting / flirting, as well as the occasional friendly conversation. Occasional. I'm very visual and enjoy showing myself as I am well endowed. let me know, thank you. I quite like that at the end. It's like, best regards. Yeah, and so I've translated it as, I've changed Doc to Dick, just for the bants. And the occupation is catfish at marital home. So I've said, prob not a doctor, defo a catfish, and married. This might sound weird, but I'm looking for someone to send poorly lit pictures of my veiny and very averagely endowed penis. Being sent pics of boobs would also be fab. So basically, I mean, anyone who's like, yeah, let's just like send each other pics and sext each other secretly and you'll never know who I am. It's like, because you're already married, like that kind of thing. Right. So that's fun. Here we go. Is another one. I don't know why this guy has started off with bull, 6'2". They don't all start off with one word descriptions and heights, but apparently the ones, yeah, as in bull, as in like a bull, like, you know, as a
very masculine.
A, yeah, it, there's even. I mean, I don't think you'd be able to see it, but there's a bull emoji. There's a lot of emojis. Too many. Does that mean
it just makes me feel like an old woman? Yeah.
No, it, honestly, I don't think. I think Gen Z would agree with us there. There's too many emojis in this bio. I want a woman who is comfortable in her femininity, takes care of her body, and can challenge my perspective on things to help me grow. Good men are the prize, but unfortunately, many of us give up our power for neediness and desperation. Mm. So I've translated bull to bullshit. I've changed the emojis to sort of lots of clown emojis and people yawning and falling asleep. I want a woman who's comfortable with gender stereotypes, is thin and can challenge my perspective, but like not too much because I'm the man. Good men are out there, but unfortunately, I'm not one of them. I probably have a podcast with 4 listeners where I talk about good men giving up their power. Yeah, there you go. That's a couple of translations for you.
Well, because the whole book, so you've got the A to Z, and one of them is about takes care of themselves, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, and if someone says they want you to take care of themselves, that means they want someone thin. So they know it's not okay to say, I want someone thin. So instead they say they want someone who takes care of themselves.
Yeah.
Personally, I learned a lot reading your book.
Yeah.
Because I've been married for 14 years.
Yeah.
And I was with Doug a couple of years before that. So I've totally missed it because it's 10 years since dating apps launched. I think it's like this week.
Yeah, 10 years, Tinder launched 10 years ago this week, I think, in the US, I think. But yeah. So
it's passed me by, but except for all the stories I get from friends who are dabbling, so no, I asked them on Instagram. One person sent me one of the bios on one of the dating apps asks a few more questions, I think, and one it was like typical Sunday, and they put pot noodle and a wank.
Ooh,
you know,
how enticing!
You're trying to actually. I think what was really interesting reading like loads of stuff on your feed and from the book, it's like, what has happened? If dating is meant to be attract to someone to you, how is that going to pot noodle and a wank on a Sunday?
I often get, and I think I do say this in the book at some point, like I get people saying, like, do they really think this is going to work, or do they really think this is attractive? And I'm like, they're not thinking. That's where you've gone wrong. People who are writing this stuff in their bio are not thinking about you as like a fully rounded human. That they need to interact with and attract. They're just like writing stuff or even just thinking about how they want to have sex and not thinking about the fact that like in order to do that there might be some steps in between, or you know,
but it's quite like, it's just quite interesting that it is dating apps, but from all the things I've read and seen, it's hookups, it's what seems to be more people are looking at. I did get some messages from people like, I met my husband on Tinder, but not many. There are a lot more who were. One's like, asked about different men, and someone said, they always open with sex messages, which I know you've said in the book, but the worst one has been, I'm in a local hotel for the night, fancy shitting on my face.
Wow.
And there was one, straight in.
Yeah,
and
even there was one, that has even shocked me.
There was this one that said the guy wore denim on denim and rode around on an electronic unicycle. And it was just like, he's probably identifiable because that's quite specific, isn't it? So there might be people listening who go, oh, yeah, no, I know him.
Yeah, I've matched him on Tinder as well.
Yeah.
Now I'm just trying to Wow, shit on the face. It's the face, I think, that really has got me there. Yeah, no, it's a wild ride out there. And I obviously get sent loads of stuff like, you know, all the gross sexual openings. I mean, there are nice interactions on Tinder. I have a boyfriend and I met him on Bumble. I think Tinder is decreasingly like somewhere you meet people. It seems to be increasingly becoming like a hookup app. People seem to be going to Hinge for relationships that are owned by the same company. Right. I find it all quite interesting how these companies have made like multiple different dating platforms for like, they know what they're doing.
For slightly different audiences.
Yeah, yeah. And I often say like, it's a lot of men just cock blocking themselves as well, because this isn't how you sleep with women. You don't open up with, hey, do you want to see my penis? Like it's not what we want really. I mean, eventually we might want to, but it's definitely not like, yeah, thanks. Do you know what? I've been waiting for a man to offer to show me his penis all day and I can't wait to see it.
What are your favourite chapters?
I mean, I quite like A is for Ask, which is about the sentence that some people write in their bios called just ask. Because it's not all gross, right? Some of it's just like, there's a lot of subtext to be read into these things. So people will just literally write, just ask. That's it. That's all they're giving. And or like, I never know what to write here, so just ask me what you want to know. And it's like, no, I don't want to ask you anything now because you haven't been able to think of one.
Doesn't bode well, does it? If like, they can't just, make it.
Yeah, like effort. I translate that as basically from the outset, I require that you make all the effort in this relationship. Mm. Because it's like, yeah, just ask me what you want to know. It's like, well, are you interested in yourself? Do you think there's anything interesting about you? Could you ask me a question? I don't know. Like, and one of those things about the bar being low is like sometimes you'll hear girls saying when they've come back from dates, you know, saying to their friends, yeah, he asked me loads of questions. And they're like, oh my God, did he? It's like, oh God, why are we celebrating?
that's a conversation.
Like, yeah, like, oh, yeah. And did he listen to the answers as well? Yeah. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Marry him.
Yeah. Don't let that one get away.
Yeah.
And I suppose another one, I'm actually going to choose like two from each end of the book. Because another one that I wrote about a long time ago on Instagram, which isn't really something that gets said in dating apps, like on a dating app bio, but it's such a common phrase, is you're not like other girls. So Y is for you're not like other girls. And yeah. I really like talking about, and I find it really interesting that like, especially like younger women or when I was younger, being like not one, like other girls was like a massive compliment. And when you think
other girls are so awful, which is
like, oh God, they're the worst, you know, even though everyone who's ever like been a consistent support in my life and like makes me laugh and not everyone who I love, but you know, is almost overwhelmingly been a female, been a woman or a girl.
Yeah.
And yet I'm trying to differentiate myself to them for what the attention of, you know, some 17-year-old with like, you know, 3-day stubble that, you know, isn't really a beard and cider breath, you know, like I'm like, oh my God, yeah, other girls are so stupid, like other girls, oh God,
that's so interesting, isn't it, that's what we aspired to be. Well, you talk about the cool girl throughout the book.
Yeah,
that's what we were like, and I guess when I say we, I'm talking about probably people that kind of grew up in the 90s, that was what you were aiming for.
Yeah, well, there was
fit in with the boys.
But also be sexy. Like, I know there was that whole kind of ladette, like wave of like ladette culture. Like, I feel like Zoe Ball was a ladette for a while.
Sarah Cox and Zoe, but they were positioned as, I think they'd probably now be like,
I don't think they were like, hey, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, as if like any woman has ever positioned herself, like been able to be like, this is who I am. But yeah, like there was a kind of this generation of like very, very actually sexy, slim, white women, pretty. But they were also like one of the lads and they were cool. They were the cool girl.
They knew a bit about football. Mm-hmm. They could drink a pint.
Drinking pints.
So they could behave like a boy, but not too much like a boy, because that would be too far.
Yeah, and that's, I felt like that's what I did wrong, is I went too far. So like, boys just wanted to be friends with me, which again, right. Why wasn't that nice for me? Why was I like, well, if they don't want to kiss me, then I'm nothing. I'm absolutely worthless if they don't want to kiss me. Yeah. You know, they want to be my friend. Boring. You know, it's so interesting. And I think boys are also raised to look for the approval of men. That's the thing. It's like, we're all kind of raised to look for the approval of men, but like, if you're a heterosexual woman, you get it from men wanting to kiss you and other stuff.
It was kind of like a false dawn in the 90s where you had your Spice Girls, and I think we thought, yeah, we're independent women, we can do whatever we want, this is we're equal. And then you kind of become an adult and go, God, no, we're not at all. But and also all that other stuff of how to, you had to behave a certain way, so it was still performative, it was still, rather than a kind of range of beings that we could be and all the different personality types, we were kind of trying to conform and fit. And you talk about that in the book, and how actually your marriage broke down when you moved away from that, when you tried to become, when you realized that you'd been trying to conform for all these years and you were trying to be, find out who you really were.
So I, after my son was born, I had postnatal depression, and one of the things I accessed was through the NHS was compassion focused therapy, which is a bit like, a lot of people have done cognitive behavioral therapy, it's a bit like that, but it goes a bit deeper, talks about your past more, and its real focus is just like having compassion for yourself. And I was like, don't know if that's okay. You know, not sure we're allowed to do that, are we? And you know, can I, you know, saying nice things out loud about myself, or not even nice, like just things that kind of like, I'm clever, you know, I've got lots of certificates.
Don't do the sick.
No, but okay, but then that's how I would feel. Like, but I'm funny. Yeah. I'm funny. Yeah. I'm clever. Those things are, I make people laugh a lot.
Yeah.
And I have lots of certificates to prove that, you know, I have a master's with a distinction from Manchester University, right? And like, saying that out loud made me want to like just turn myself inside out, saying anything nice about myself. And I remember talking to my therapist about it, and she's just like, why? I was like, I don't know, that's bad, isn't it? Anyway, and just kind of learning, I've been trying to shrink myself in lots of ways for lots of years. And I think a lot of women do that in lots of different ways, like physically and in personality type. And I'd definitely done that within my marriage, although it had been so subtle that I hadn't really really noticed. But people really noticed it almost like as soon as we separated. I remember saying to loads of our friends just knew us as a couple because we've been together since university.
Right.
And I was talking to one of my friends and I was just saying, like, I don't think I want him back in the house now, and I know people are going to be like upset because, you know, we're like the couple of the group type thing, because we were all quite young. And she was like, you know when someone's obviously been like, I don't know whether to say this or not type thing, and they like, they kind of blurt out, they're like, oh my god, thank god I can say this. And she said to me, it's like a weight's been lifted off you, and I didn't know there was a weight on you, but now it's like you shine. And I kind of, you know, sip my wine and had a little cry. But, and that was something that I didn't quite realize was going on. But I think, you know, looking back, I think what was hard for my husband was like me just being more myself. Actually, there were quite a lot of ways that he slightly disapproved of me, and the aspects of myself that he maybe didn't like so much that I'd sort of just kind of hidden a little bit. And when I stopped doing that, and not in a defiant way or anything, just in like, hey, maybe I'm all right. And I wasn't really doing it in relation to him, to be honest. I was just learning to stand up for myself. And that, I think that was like, oh, I'm going to check out.
This is a bit of the book, and I want to read you back to yourself, which I know might be a bit creepy, but, or you might like, because you're like, yeah, sure, I wrote that. I think reading this, especially now, like I'm 41, I'm seeing this among lots of people I know, where we had this kind of period of having women, and lots of women I know have had periods of having babies. And before that, they were trying to meet somebody. And before that, they were teenagers. So it's like, now is when they've gone, oh, hang on, am I being true to myself? Am I that kid that I was, you know, before all this other shit and teenageness happened? Am I allowed to behave like that? And if their partner is okay with it and accepts it and helps them move through it, great. Yeah. But if they don't and they're like, wait, no, this isn't the person I met, it just is really, really complicated. And like, what is it, 70% of divorces are instigated by women, divorced women are happier. And it's like, oh, that's what's happening. So what, there's a bit in, let me just find it. The mold of your 20s and filing down my edges to be smooth enough to love was how you had been prior to this kind of change. And the self-care that makes you see your own worth and have boundaries and ask for more. And then I've quoted, it is the kind that makes you realise you don't want to be with someone whose affection is contingent on your maintaining a certain appearance. So as you kind of realise that you did, you'd been maintaining that, which is also exhausting, right? For women the world over.
Yeah, for sure.
As well as not being able to just be yourself, it's exhausting. And I just thought that with those, that idea leads into also tying back to kind of misogyny and all the stuff that you're talking about. It all fits together of that expectation from men and from women of what we're supposed to be.
Yeah, and how subtle it can be as well, because, you know, my ex-husband, I mean, he's a great dad, we co-parent, it's all fine now. But, you know, you would never look at him as someone who would like repress a woman, like a, like, you know, oppress a woman he was with, or like be controlling, or try and, you know, do, you know, say like, oh, you shouldn't do that, or the things I do are better than you. But he totally was doing that, and I think he would admit that now. In a,
is there anything in particular, is there a particular thing that he would have done that about?
Well, so he was quite spiritual. I say spiritual kind of in inverted commas. I mean, he is, and he does lots of yoga meditation and stuff like that. But sometimes he would kind of use that as like a sort of like holier than thou thing, or, you know, kind of just like, I say, for example, if he would get up with our son, I would have a lie-in. I would just sleep until he like woke me up. I could sleep for days. Whereas he, if I would get up for with our son on a weekend, he would go and do like yoga and meditation for 2 hours. He would basically like criticize me for that, for sleeping in. And I'd be like, that's my self-care. Because he'd be like, oh, you know, I've been with him all morning. And I was like, well, I'm with him all morning when you do yoga and meditation. If I woke up and like did 2 hours of meditation, would that be better? And he was like, well, kind of. I was like, fuck you.
You don't get to choose what I do with my time, which is away from, okay.
And there, I mean, there was a lot, there was loads of little things going on, and it was pretty like heartbreaking in the end of our relationship. And it wasn't me just going, huh, I think I want to be free of this. In fact, but when it did happen, it was like, oh God, this was, even though it kind of ended in a shitty way, I was like, oh, actually, no, this is right. I kind of wish it ended in a more kind of neutral, like, let's break up because it's not working for us way, but you can't have everything. I think that you're so right. It's not about the fact that you like you have to break up with someone in order to be more fully yourself. But if you can't be more fully yourself with in that relationship, if you feel like who you are is not what they want, or that they don't like aspects of you, then it's very hard to like yourself. Like, and when you do like yourself, it's a bit like, well, I'm not sure I like you anymore because you've not liked me for years.
Our sponsors for this episode are a mortgage and insurance brokerage firm named Hudson Rose. And along with their Not All Suits and Ties motto, their focus is on being more fun and relatable financial service. Definitely two things missing from most financial service providers. Customer service is their priority, so they love getting to know clients. They're all about finding bespoke solutions, and they're consistently rated 5 stars on Google, so their customers are clearly loving them too. Have a look on their website, hudson-rose.co.uk, or follow them on Instagram at hudson_rose_UK. We'll add links in the show notes. And if you do go to them for advice, and I can vouch that they are a lovely team, quote, don't buy flowers, and they'll donate £50 to your local food bank.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All the stuff we're talking about and that is maybe talked about loads on social media or whatever has changed massively since we were in our kind of formative years. Mm-hmm. So like having conversations with Doug before I spoke to you, and I was saying some of the stuff that even my male mates, I've got a really good group of male friends who actually before I met Doug, all my girlfriends were back in Gloucestershire, all married and settled down, and they were my crew. And I had a lot of fun with them. I mean, because they were just having a good time in London. Yeah. But some of their behaviours, some of Doug and his friends' behaviours, if we looked back with them, like I don't mean like pointing out and going, the way they would have probably spoken about girls or mm-hmm. how they would have treated girls. Now, I know them as adults and they are really good men and I know how they are as parents. I know their partners, like, but just how they would have been. I'm not saying that they were dreadful people. They were normal mm-hmm. of that generation, as are we. So we've kind of all moved on. So if you're with someone and they're not seeing that that's change has happened for all of us, like maybe doing a bit of reading themselves, maybe, you know, engaging in conversations that are happening, then they're not going to move on. And then you are in two really different places.
Yeah. At the time of my breakup, actually, me and a friend were talking about this whole thing of like, you've changed, being like a really weird thing to say to someone that you met in your early 20s. It's like, why haven't you changed, dude? Like, it's been 10 years. Like, of course I have. Like, wouldn't it be weird if I hadn't? Like, and, you know, expecting me to be this person who was going to like 3 hours of lectures a week at uni doing history and like playing my guitar at open mic nights and things like that. And I mean, I am still that person in a way, but also like I'm going to behave differently. I have a small child and a job. And also I'm just 10 years older. So, and I think that's why some men do kind of just like, you know, trade in women for a younger model.
That's been really interesting to watch the Leonardo DiCaprio stuff in particular, because
oh my God,
I don't think the same. I don't think, I mean, very funny. Some of the memes were A star, but I don't think the same. I think 10 or so years ago, it would have been like, oh, he always got a bit of a perv, likes younger women. And that would have been the end of it. Whereas what I saw in like with this kind of round was people going, well, hang on a minute. Is that because he needs to be able to control them to some degree or because they're not free thinking at that point? And then as they become that, and you kind of suddenly go, oh, that's not just a bit ick anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like something it's darker.
There's that whole thing of like your brain development doesn't stop till you're in your late 20s. And the thing of people just being like, are we sure that it's him who ends it? Or is it them when they kind of reach an age where they can make their own decisions fully?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see like if he maintains this under 25s policy as he gets even older, because when someone put out the graph of his girlfriend's ages, they did it for a few other people as well, actually.
Some of them had gone for someone who is like proportionately younger,
yeah.
But that person did get older. Those partners got older as they got
yeah.
older.
Yeah.
But with him, it was like he's got older and he's kept going for just the same
going
age,
back,
which
like,
is
really, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard the new Demi Lovato song 29, but it's about right. a man that she was with. They said at the time she got together when she was 18. Perhaps they actually got together when she was 17 until she was 19 or something. He was one of the actors in That 70s Show. It's like an Ashton right, Kutcher okay. type cohort. So he was 29 when they got together. And she's 29 now and is saying, finally 29, funny just like you were at the time. And so it's basically just like very explicitly about how she was kind of groomed, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, here you go. Some lyrics here. Had me in your grip, went beautifully with all my daddy issues, and this shit continues. I see you're quite the collector, yeah. And ooh. So now, yeah, like it's, ooh. So he's now with someone who, yeah, they got together when she was quite young, but they seem to be staying. They're married, right? Yeah, you're 12 years old, her elder. Maybe now it doesn't matter, but I know better. Now I know better because I'm finally 29. And she, in another bit of it, says, you know, wouldn't dream of 17 now.
Alanis Morissette was 18 when she wrote Jagged Little Pill, which I did not realise until I went to yeah. the reunion type tour recently. Which
I'm so jealous. I should have gone. God. I feel
oh
like
God. It was yeah. good. It was so good. Just screaming every single word. I would recommend
everyone
listening to it now.
Yeah, I actually re-listened to. So I love. I think Jagged Little Pill's one of those albums as well that different times of your life you like different songs on it, or like you.
Yeah.
They. I mean, it's weird that she wrote when she was 18, but like yeah. Not the Doctor in my mid.
Yes.
Late early 30s, mid 30s, I was like, oh my God, yeah, this. I used to find it quite boring when I was younger, but now I'm like, oh my God.
No.
And it does speak to
quite
a lot. I
don't
want
to be your babysitter. Yeah,
yeah, it speaks to quite a lot of this stuff, really.
She had older met than what she wrote it about. I listened to quite a few documentaries before I went to it because mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't realize she was that young. She was writing it about all the older men who had basically kind of been with her, used mm-hmm. her through her teens. So the whole album is about that, which is, yeah, I obviously yeah. didn't know at the time. I just thought I was just full of teen angst. So one of my favourite chapters was No Drama,
mm-hmm.
because so you translate No Drama. So if this someone has no drama in their bio, you said, I would bet my house on the fact that what No Drama actually means to most of these dudes is just be a pushover, be submissive, smile and nod and give me blowjobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the whole play of what men are looking for
mm-hmm.
from women, and they're saying yeah. it quite blatantly, really.
Yeah, because drama really, you know, there are, and this is the patriarchy as well. Like, I have empathy. I don't want to date these men, but I have empathy for them. There are lots of men who don't mm-hmm. know how to express any emotion that isn't anger. In any emotion, like in a safe way that's not like outside a football stadium or, you know, yeah. something like that. And the kind of no drama thing is often just associated with like expressing emotions or express, you mm-hmm. know, and sometimes expressing anger, because obviously women have the other problem, which is that we're brought up to not express anger. You can have the other emotions, but no anger, that's the man's one. They get the anger. Mm-hmm. And so if you kind of go, hey, look, you didn't, like, could you reply to my text within 24 hours or something, like some reasonable mm-hmm. request. It's like, oh my God, you're so like high maintenance, you're so dramatic, yeah. like, so like, don't be so, or like, you know, I didn't really like it when you did this. I thought you weren't like other girls. I thought you weren't dramatic, you know, like
God.
Yeah.
And it's really controlling, isn't it?
Like, it's very controlling.
Ultimately.
And it's preemptively controlling as well, because it's like,
because then you're so desperate to be in a relationship. And this is, again, going back to that kind of we thought we wanted independence in the 90s thing, but mm-hmm. we also ultimately were living to find a bloke. And mm-hmm. so if they've already told you they don't like that, then you can't possibly give them the drama. Mm-hmm. So then you're going, oh, it's It's really seedy.
Most people who are manipulative and stuff aren't masterminds. They're not going, no. I know what I'll do. I'll write no drama in my bio and then I will preemptively, you know, cut that off.
Yeah.
They're basically saying they've kind of evolved these patterns over years. They don't realise that they're necessarily doing it. My problem is when you tell them they're doing it and they don't want to listen, that's the problem. But the problem is, say, you're being dramatic, I imagine. But I always think it's really funny because often no drama is written in all caps, which I find very dramatic. It's like, no drama! I don't want any drama in my life! It's like, you're the common denominator to all this drama, mate. So maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe, you know that like meme that goes around like, is it me? Am I the drama? It's very like... Everyone who says no drama is basically that. In fact, I should make that into a reel. But anyway, often as well with the no drama thing, it can be don't have any reactions to when I'm being dramatic. It can be, you know, if I get angry or whatever, like just you can't call me out on it. If I'm behaving in a way that isn't actually okay, you can't say that I am because then I'll say you're being dramatic. And it's like, what? Yeah, but it's often very preemptive. And a lot of this stuff is like, another chapter is Good Vibes Only, which I say is like the sort of spiritual fuckboy version of no drama. You know, it's sort of like, man, I'm just like really positive and like, I don't want negativity around me, you know, like it's like, oh God, well, don't be alive then. Because that's the world.
You're not looking for a fully formed human who has all the emotions and who will have good days and bad days and shit things happen and good things happen. Like it's, and again, when you talk about like women, like shrinking ourselves as women and trying to make everyone happy, keep everyone happy all the time, it all plays to that. But maybe that's changing. And that's why one of the things I was going to say is that I think nearly every female I know who I know well has ended up in a relationship at some point, not so much, but more, you know, probably when we were a bit younger, that has this kind of coercive control thing happening, and they don't even necessarily know. It's kind of afterwards that you realize. So whether that's they're controlling your finances or isolating you from your friends and family because someone drops off the radar a bit and you only realize afterwards that what's happened, or they're kind of keeping track of you, like all these, and there's a website that kind of lists all these things and you look at them and go, shit, like I definitely had a relationship like that and removed myself from my friends until I think I don't know what triggered, like a couple of years, it triggered something me to sort of say to my friends that we'd had a day out, kind of saying to them, did your boyfriend ever call you a bitch? And them kind of looking at me like, no, what? And just being like, I'm so glad you said that though.
Yeah, like,
yeah, no, God, so am I. And they were just like, get the fuck out of there.
But he wouldn't have started by calling you a bitch, right? He wouldn't have called you a bitch on the first date. That's the thing. It's insidious. And I've definitely had conversations where I've gone like, yeah, this, you know, he would do this or whatever. And people are like, oh my God, that sounds horrible. And you're like, yeah, it was horrible. And you know what? At the time, I sort of thought maybe it was horrible, but then I thought probably being a bit dramatic. But, you know, things where you're just kind of slightly belittled or made to feel that you're the inferior one in the relationship for whatever reason, or that you're the less important one in the relationship, which I think, you know, a lot of women feel just with like the division of labor and the, you know, how much is noticed about how much they do in the household, as opposed to how much you're expected to take notice of what is done by the man. Oh my God, thank you for making dinner. And that's, you know, I think that is evening out, and that's certainly evening out in a lot of relationships, which is really good. But yeah, the whole thing of being fully human is such a big thing. And it kind of only really dawned on me whilst writing the book because it kept coming back up. It was like, that is what objectification is, right? It's like making you an object instead of a fully like rounded being with all of the mess and everything. And I was just like, yeah. And then of course, dating apps make it easier to objectify people because you're removed. You're not face to face with them. Their pictures.
It's primarily based on looks.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, I mean, I used to be like, oh my God, it's so shallow. And then I'd be like, well, what did you do when you were like every night out you ever had as a like as a you know, teenager or like in your 20s, you were looking around the bar. Like, you didn't go, I'll go and ask that man about his biographical history and see if we get on. Do you know what I mean? Like, so in a way, sometimes I would probably be swayed by people's bios and be like, oh, I don't know, and then read the bio and be like, oh, actually, I'll give this guy a shot or whatever, or be put off by their bios, because sometimes these guys are doing you a massive favor by just being awful straight up.
Well, especially if someone's got your book and then they can go, oh no, this is not
reference. Oh, looking for some fun, you say. That means sex. It's a top tip, by the way.
Do you think that men from Gen Z will be different to men from Gen X? Have we got any hope here is what I'm looking for.
Our sons are sort of Gen Z, although maybe your younger son is like the next one along, I guess. But I think my son just about falls.
Two different.
I just about falls into Gen Z. He's only 8.5. But, you know, I see a lot of couples and a lot of women raising their sons in ways that I'm like, this is hopeful. But I also see the way that the internet shapes people and, you know, it is a bit scary, I think, for mums in general, when you look at kind of the readily available pornography about, you know, boys potentially learning about porn, you know, from the internet. I actually listened to your episode with the sex doctor. And you were talking to your eldest about that, and I thought that was great. So certainly, I think the fact that we're all a bit on it, more on it, and a bit more aware of these things is also hopeful. But you know, the kind of rampant misogyny that exists on the internet also worries me.
What, again, reading your book and that idea that if women are becoming more aware of what they deserve, maybe then that's going to lead to loads of angry men, which is what we're seeing with, even if you go back to the likes of Donald Trump, but also you've got Andrew Tate, who I know you've talked about.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to introduce him, if there's anyone that doesn't know of him, or kind of explain him.
Yeah, I'd rather I will. Yeah. So Andrew Tate, so there is an area of the internet which is commonly known as the manosphere. And it is kind of a dark subsection of the internet, which is deeply misogynistic. Often it's quite alt-right and racist as well, although it's not just alt-right that people who find themselves on there. You might have seen people doing real replies to men who've got podcasts saying, like, you know, high-value men deserve this, and like, don't sleep with a woman who's had, you know, too many other men because blah, blah, blah. And so there's all that going on. And there's subsections of this as well. There's a book by Laura Bates called Men Who Hate Women, which is all about it. And it's terrifying and brilliant. And I feel like everyone should read it. I feel like every secondary school teacher should read it, and every like parent should read it. And just so we're all aware, because there's lots of language that's coming into like everyday parlance that is from there, so it's worth keeping an eye on. But Andrew Tate, I suppose, became for a short while, I'm going to talk about him in the past tense because I'm trying to manifest it. For a short while, the kind of king of the manosphere, king of the kind of, so that one of the groups in the manosphere is called incels, which is, they call themselves involuntary celibate, which means that basically they're made to be celibate because women won't sleep with them. You know, you don't have to.
Why would you outwardly say that anyway?
Yeah, well, I mean, they
bizarre.
They, you know, it's like there's loads. I mean, it's really hateful, all the things that they say about women, and the whole ideology is there's a whole ideology behind it, and you know, it's wild, basically. But there's the incels and there's pickup artists, so they're the kind of people who used to, like, well, and still do, but they've kind of shapeshifted a bit, teach men how to sleep with women. How to pick up women. But I think that Andrew Tate came along. I think he had like a YouTube channel. It's on podcasts, always doing like Twitch streams, which I don't understand what they are.
Computer games. And also, doesn't he do kickboxing or something like that?
So he was like a kickboxing star or something. So it's this, you know, one of those kind of people who must spend an incredible amount of time, you know, sculpting his body, because it's not like a body that should really physically exist. Like, the people shouldn't be that shape. Like, people shouldn't be that muscular. Like, all the things that we're taught that men should look like are, like, ridiculous. Anyway, and he, yeah, and he basically, you know, started blowing up on TikTok and YouTube and, you know, was sort of offering advice to young men, incredibly misogynistic advice, but also was kind of presenting himself as this super rich. I mean, he would call himself a pimp. I mean, he's actually been, his house was raided on human trafficking charges in Romania. He talked openly in an interview about how he liked Romania better than Western Europe because it was harder to get accused of rape, basically.
Well, you didn't know. He say as well that women who are raped have brought it on themselves?
He said, basically. Yeah, about, like, about, I think it was 2019 or something, he said that they have to take some of the blame for that if they get sexually assaulted. Well, and yeah, all this stuff. And then he kind of just grew into this massive, he grew into this massive thing.
Well, he used like a
pyramid scheme.
Yeah, pyramid scheme. So he was getting other young people, recruiting other young, or men, boys.
Yeah.
So, and it's quite fucking clever, which is scary.
It was like, get rich on the internet. And the way you got rich on the internet, you paid, you know, whatever your monthly fee. He was like, cut up my most outrageous videos and post them everywhere, basically. So he was getting much more notoriety. But at the same time, it was like, so you pay your fee and then you get five of your friends to pay. It was just a pyramid scheme, you know, to pay your fee. And then they do that. And you'll make money from that. And also, I guess, from views and stuff. But there was a really big campaign to get him taken down. And actually, I'm still kind of flabbergasted that, like, all of the platforms, or not, I don't know about Twitch, actually, but YouTube, everywhere took him down eventually. Because he was saying, like, really openly, like, violent stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of social workers and police and people in schools were expressing, like, this is actually having an impact on, you know, there are assaults being, you know.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing you talking about it and you saying, well, some people are saying I shouldn't talk about it, I shouldn't give it the airtime. But if you and people like you weren't talking about it, I wouldn't have heard of him. Mm-hmm. And it enabled me to have a conversation with Buster. But also, like, Doug's a rugby coach, and he coaches Buster's year, so like under 12s, right? Mm-hmm. So they're all just starting secondary school. And I was chatting to some of the coaches at the weekend and I was like, have you guys heard of Andrew Tate? And I said straight away, I said, oh, he's a misogynist. And one of the guys, I said, he hates women. I was like, yeah. And they're like, ooh, okay. And they listened, and it was like a 5-minute conversation, but enough that they could then have conversations with their sons, or they could be aware of it if people are watching it, you know, if their kids are watching it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, no, it is really important. I feel like we're closer in age to our children than our parents were, even though the actual number of years is probably the same, because we're trying to understand some of this stuff, and that hopefully is a good thing.
Yeah, I think whenever you kind of respond to somebody like that or talk about someone like that, because I basically did a live being like, I don't know what to do, because some people are like, don't give it oxygen, and some people are like, you have to talk about it. But the thing is, I think what a lot of the people who say don't give it oxygen don't realise, or maybe they aren't like parents to young boys, or they don't realise that, I'm not trying to convince any young boys that Andrew Tate's not the one, like, I don't think I've got any power to do that. I'm trying to tell their parents.
There aren't loads of 11-year-old boys watching your...
Yeah, they're not like, probably. Oh my God, Alien said he's really problematic, so I'm going to stop watching his live streams now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to tell their parents that he exists and that he's saying these things and that, you know, he's being hero-worshipped by these really young, impressionable minds, you know. And when a lot of people are saying men need to do work on themselves in order to, like, be better parts of society or be better husbands and boyfriends... And somebody else is offering this alternative that's like, no, everything is women's fault and they're fussy and men should be real men. Well, what's the easier one? The easier option is just to be like, no, I don't need to change. It's your
problem. And it's more fun, probably, isn't it? Like, it's like when we have conversations about the domestic load, the mental load, whatever, and Doug and I have conversations and he's like, for us to be more equal, my life is a bit shitter, not long term, but the initial thing is like, no, yeah, you have to do more, right? So it's the same sort of thing. For men to not be all these things that we're talking about is harder work in a way, because they have to learn about themselves, they've got to be able to communicate better, they've got to be kinder. Like, there's loads of asks. Ultimately, life will be better, I suppose, is what we've got to try and get to.
Yeah.
But it's...
And that's, you see people sometimes saying like, you know, asking for equality isn't asking for you to give anything up. It's just asking for people to have the same. And I'm like, no, some of it is asking you to give some stuff up or to do some more stuff. And the thing I think some men don't appreciate, the men who resent this kind of advice, I think, is that women have been doing that work. It's not that we haven't also worked on ourselves and our communication.
Else to. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. We're just like, can you do all of it? It's like, no, you just haven't noticed that we've been doing it.
So Abby, who's up yours, Gina Ford on Instagram, she's very funny. She's like, oh, you get these guys going like, oh, we're not terrible looking. We've got a job. Why aren't women jumping at me kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And she was saying they honestly think that's all women want. And to be fair, in the past, women probably did ask for less, but the wants and boundaries have shifted, lads. And then she sent me an article that was in Psychology Today about the rise of lonely single men. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
So the key points in it were... Dating opportunities for heterosexual men are diminishing as relationship standards rise. So, you know, like, yeah. So it's like, so we're not willing to put up with quite so much shit. Mm-hmm. Men represent approximately 62% of dating app users, lowering their chances for matches. And men need to address skill deficits to meet healthier relationship expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was written by a man as well.
I know.
Yeah. But he got loads of hate for it. He got loads of
did
hate.
He?
It was quite a gentle article, I thought. I didn't think it was...
It's not been very long.
It's not very long, and it's basically just saying, like, learn some communication skills, you know, emotional literacy. And I know that's easier said than done. I'm not saying it's not. But
look inward before you go, oh, all these women are dreadful and they're out to get ruin us and
what do they want? And that's the thing. It's like, what do they don't even know what they want. It's like, yeah, we do. We keep saying it. Like, and then there'll be
the
like
same thing.
Three women on some podcast saying like, I want over 100 grand, over 6 foot and like blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, all women want is like money and tallness. And I'm like, no, they don't. Like, you've just gone, right, I'm going to ignore all these women just saying, like, what we want is somebody who asks us questions and listens to the answers, is interested in our lives, who we can have a laugh with and who won't, like, dissolve into a puddle on the floor if we have an emotion, you know. So it's, you know, like, there you go. Go and do your homework now. Yeah. And I can imagine how that's daunting and stuff. And I do have some empathy for it, but you know, I actually did make like a bit of a video about the response to that article, because there was two sides to it. There were some people posting it being like, oh my god, we're supposed to see men as victims now because they, you know, because our standards are going up. I was like, that's not what the article's saying, you know. People are just like, I'm gonna do a reaction.
Let's get very quickly reaction.
And they like deleted like the two points underneath it, and it was just like, men's chances are going down. I was like, dude, did you read the article?
Yeah.
But
then
there was also like loads of men being like, oh, it's always men who've got to do everything, isn't it? It's always men who've got to improve. I was like, yeah, it's because you're the bad ones. But I was like,
well,
but it was like very defensive. And I made this video basically saying like, I'm happy to talk to men about this stuff, but if you can't read that article and not get your back up, I don't think we can have a conversation. Because there's no point me just going like, you're great. Yeah, why don't women like you? Like, there's no point in doing that. So if you can't even just be like, all right, okay, so I need to like improve my relationship skills a bit and probably listen a bit better or whatever, I'm going to Google how to do that, because there's loads of articles about it, by the way. People are like, how?
It's the idea of privilege though, isn't it? So it works for lots of different scenarios. But again, it's that, I suppose what you've got to do is look inward, and people don't want to do that. Or it's like admitting, have I ever treated a woman badly? Have I done some of the things that are being flagged as or have I gaslit someone? Have I, you know, all that stuff? Probably yes. You have. And that doesn't mean you can't change, but can you admit to it in the same way that you might, as white women, we should be able to look at how we have thought or spoken about or treated or anything to do with race.
Yeah.
And
absolutely,
you have to own it. And it's horrible and uncomfortable. So therefore everyone goes into defense.
Yeah. And that's why so many people, I think it's a really good comparison. And you know, you were talking about your friends earlier who were, the way they behaved in the 90s or the early noughties or whatever with women, now wouldn't be okay, and they would know it wasn't okay, but it would also be really uncomfortable to talk about it. I think that's what people don't understand when you're talking about being like sexist or having treated women badly or men treating women badly, or like, you know, and it's the same with racism, is that people aren't saying like, you're an awful person to the core of your soul. They're saying like, you've grown up in a society that taught you that, you know, as white people, white supremacy is basically like white people are supreme. as men, patriarchy is like men are supreme. If you grew up in that society, you may have behaved
which
in ways,
we all did,
that were not okay, and you need to look at those ways and cringe and feel bad, but then don't get lost in that. That's not what it's about. It's about shifting to the change, and it's not about going like, you know, hashtag men are trash or anything. Like, I don't think men are trash. I quite like quite a lot of men. But I'm not interested in talking to the ones who aren't interested in admitting that there is a lot of, especially within relationships and sex, there is a lot of inequality and a lot of abuse, and it goes mostly in the abuse goes in women's directions, and you know, the inequality again is stacked on our shoulders. And if you're not even willing to kind of set those as an opener, then it's kind of like, why are we talking to each other? Because like, we don't live in the same world almost.
And the pep talk chapter at the end actually made me quite emotional, because it made me think of all the women who don't think they're deserving of more. So it almost, you talk about like the importance of being in a relationship overtakes the importance of being able to be yourself and being someone who deserves more.
Yeah.
How would you summarize that?
Well, I think for so long we've been taught, and this is sort of for all genders, but certainly it's more pressing for women, I think, that being single is like the holding room for being in a relationship. The relationship is supposed to be the permanent state, and the single is like just, you know, what you're waiting for. So if that's true, then when you're on your own, you're not in, you can't just like settle, right? Like, people talk about settling down, they're talking about it's got to be with somebody else or whatever. So you get all that messaging, and then we also like all grow up with all the Disney films where the ending is that they kiss and get married. Like, I'm quite excited for this generation of girls who like the ending is like, and then her sister saves her, or like and then she saves the heart of the ocean, and then like all this stuff. It's like, but you know, for us, you know, even if all of the Disney princesses were like the protagonist, their whole story arc was about the prince, you know. It's very hard to feel like you're enough just as you are, and you can be happy with yourself and you can like yourself, and that doesn't make you like an arrogant twat. Like, that doesn't make you like, women just being like, hey, I quite like myself, you know, seems like, oh my god, like, who does she think she is, you know? And decreasingly so, but it has felt like that, and it does feel like that when you say stuff, you know, positive stuff about yourself out loud. If you can get to a place though where you're like, actually, yeah, I'm not even like, I'm amazing, I'm brilliant, just like, I'm okay, I'm good, like, I'm good company, I don't mind being on my own with myself, I know what I like. There are lots of things that we like doing that we stop doing when in relationships because the other person doesn't like them. And like, do that with yourself. And I mean this to people who are in relationships as well. And obviously, if you've got kids and a job and everything, is maybe not time, but continue to date yourself, basically. If we can hold on to like who we are and like that, I think everything changes. Choices just open up that weren't there before.
And the final question. If someone is on Tinder or other dating apps, what is a good question that will help them find out if the person is indeed a plonker?
I mean, you could ask them if they're enjoying being on a dating app, like, how have you found it so far? And if they kind of just say like, you know, yeah, it's great, like, I don't know, I feel like there could be a lot of red flag, not maybe not red flag, but certainly pink flag answers to that, of just like, like, you know, it's great. I mean,
slagging everyone off about how
they're all, you know, all the girls are fake and blah blah blah, and then you can be like, bye bye, or like, yeah, I'm having a great time, wink wink, like, you know, 17 emojis including an aubergine. You might also be like, bye. Or if they're just like, yeah, it's been all right, you know, how are you finding it? I mean, asking someone a question and seeing if they ask you one back is always quite a good thing to do. But yeah, like, I wrote in my, it's in the beginning of my book, I had in my Tinder bio for quite a while, Tinder is the worst, but here we are. And some guys would be like, what's bad about it? And I'd be like, wow, have you ever considered what being a woman might be like, you know? Just be like, wow, So I guess maybe that one. But I don't know, if people do it, let me know how it goes.
Thank you so much to Aileen, who I love talking to, and we actually knew each other years ago in the blogging world. I love that she's carving out this space, but also it's really thought-provoking. I think the world and what behaviour is acceptable is hopefully changing. So it's really good to hear more from people like Aileen. And thank you again to the boutique mortgage and insurance brokerage Hudson Rose for sponsoring this episode. Go and check them out. As I said, they're a lovely team. So yeah, you can find out more in the notes. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review and subscribe. Message me on Instagram if you've got anything to say, or email podcast@don'tbuyherflowers.com with any thoughts, musings, whatever. It's always lovely to hear from people. And coming up next week, I'm very excited for you to hear my conversation with Laura Danger, aka That Darn Chat. Laura is all about the mental load and she pulls no punches. So if you're struggling in your relationship, maybe feeling a bit overwhelmed with that ticker tape of things running through your head, of things that you need to do, have a listen, because you're definitely not alone. And she also gives some really solid advice about how to improve communication with your partner and better share that load. It's definitely not just about moaning about it. But for now, I hope you have a really lovely week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.